Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:48 PM and that is Central Time. Today is December 14th. I thought we'd kick off with Adobe because it's been one of the best performing shares over the course of the last decade. And a good part of the reason for that is because it was one of the first of the big companies to adopt a subscription-based model. So they had always sold Photoshop and their video editing software as whole pieces, and they found that by selling it as a subscription that they were able to drop the price, and then that also made it more available to more people, and that boosted sales, and it smoothed out their ability to their cash flows, and that was appreciated by investors. So let's just look at it on a log scale chart just to put into perspective how much it went up. So the share pulled back in a violent manner in here today, and it really does need to bounce in order to sustain the sequence of higher reaction lows and for it to hold support in the region of the 200-day moving average. Now on this log scale chart, I've got a 1,000-day moving average up here, and Adobe has had such a steep uptrend, it's never really come back to test it at any point really over the course of the last 9 years. So the big question then is, what's happened? What for a trend that's been incredibly successful and has done nothing but rise for 9 years, what's changed? Well, we may be looking at liquidity starting to come back. And when we think about valuations, well, it's trading on a PE of 49. So obviously that's priced in a lot of good news. And it's trading on a price to sales ratio of 19.5. So, and a price to book of 20. So these are really quite aggressive multiples. Now, I think there's a good argument, and certainly there's been a lot of argument about intangible assets. And when we think about Adobe, then I think it's a very good example of the kinds of value from intangible assets, because it's a company that dominates video editing software and photo editing software. Well, I think perhaps more correctly, photo editing software. So now the question, therefore, is we can look at its book value. It's not going to mean a lot because obviously it's a software company. Sales mean more than that, though. Sales, I think, are where we can definitely see the value of the company being really starting to come through. And of course, it has that intangible value because it is the leader in the sector, and it's integral to the e-commerce environment that what you're effectively selling are photos. Because you need attractive photos of your products in order to attract interest. And people don't get to pick it up. They don't get to feel what you're selling. So then they have to have an attractive picture to draw their interest. And that's basically what Adobe sells. So it's got that intangible value to it, which helps to inflate the valuation. But with a price to sales ratio of 19, then it's pricing in a lot of good news. And obviously, if interest rates do start to rise and liquidity is taken back, well, then that's going to weigh on the share. And it's going to weigh on a number of other shares as well. So I think it's worth paying particular attention to the largest cap companies. So Apple was down a bit in here today, but not in a very dynamic manner. And it did gap lower off the open, but it has recovered a good part of that in here today. And then we can think about the NASDAQ. It pulled back in a violent manner off the open and then recovered some of it. And it's still holding the sequence of higher reaction lows. And the low from earlier on this month was in the region of the upper side of the underlying range. So it really would be ideal if these levels hold. And then, of course, we have companies that are really quite overextended on the upside, like Microsoft. And that was also weaker in here off the open and then was able to rally off the lows. So perhaps people are beginning, or at least are done panicking in the short term about what's going to happen to interest rates. So bond yields were a little bit steadier in here today, but not really in a big way. And when we then zoom in and just look at shorter durations, well, the two-year yield is still hovering here around 66 basis points. So bond investors are not really willing to give the benefit of the doubt to anything other than a couple of interest rate hikes within the next 2 years. Of course, other portions of the market, and particularly the short-term interest rate market, are pricing in more interest rate hikes, and they're talking about perhaps even 3 interest rate hikes before the end of next year. So we have different signals from different portions of the market, but certainly there's been more angst expressed over the last couple of days than we've had in a while, and a good part of the reason for that is because of people becoming uncertain about what the trajectory of markets is going to be when the Federal Reserve starts to remove liquidity, and if they accelerate the tapering of monetary accommodation, well, then that is going to increase the potential that they'll start raising rates. And I think everybody knows what happened when they started tapering the size of the balance sheet. And that was back in 2018. Well, one of the first things that went hairy back in 2018 was the high-yield bond market. So the HYG ETF has pulled back in November, then rebounded in December. And it's now testing the sequence of lower rally highs, and it was off its lows in here today. So that's at least positive. But I think it's particularly important to pay attention to what this looks like on a total return basis, because bond investors are total return investors. So when we think about then what's going on here, well, it did pull back enough to break the sequence of higher reaction lows. But then it rebounded, and it's now right in the region of the previous peak, but still below it. So if high yields break down once more, well, then that will be very clear evidence that investors are beginning to take into account that we're in a less benign liquidity environment. And portions of the market have pulled back much more violently than others. Obviously, the most interest rate sensitive portions of the market are weakest. So the SPAC index has pulled back in a violent manner over the last 4 days, and it was at a new reaction low in here today. So there's a good number of these companies that are really very attuned to interest rates and the outlook for continued valuation expansion, they're selling off rather aggressively. Then when we look at the wider market, the Hang Seng is now trading below book value, and it was in negative territory as well in here today. But we're right in the region of the lows from early 2020. Now, obviously, there are lots of questions outstanding about China. We don't know how deep the housing issues are going to go. We also don't know what the natural default rate is in terms of the corporate sector. And we don't know exactly when the government is going to open the purse strings and start with the fiscal stimulus. And I suspect that it's going to be at the beginning of next year. The last thing that they're going to want is a weak economy heading into the Winter Olympics, and that's going to be in February. So it's quite likely that they're going to start with a fiscal stimulus at the beginning of 2022. But so far, that's conjecture. Now, the Hang Seng has sold off, and it's been going down pretty much all year. So it's one of the worst performing stock markets this year. And if we simply look at the broad perspective there, in nominal terms, Brazil is down 10% and the Hang Seng is down 13%. And in currency adjusted terms, then Brazil is down even more. So Brazil's CPI came in below expectations today, and the Bovespa index is still holding the sequence of lower rally highs, and it's pausing here in the region of the peak from mid-November, but it was in negative territory in here today as well. So there's still a lot of uncertainty about whether inflation has been got under control, and then also about what demand is going to look like for iron ore in particular, because China's inventories of iron ore are rising, so that would suggest that there's less activity in steel production, and they do seem to be intent to try and cut down on excess steel production, which will weigh on somewhere like Brazil. At the other end of the spectrum, we have countries like Bolivia, which has got the biggest reserves of lithium in the world, so it could potentially be a beneficiary of the unfolding bull market for lithium. SemCorp has announced that they're going to build a battery or a battery storage facility in the UK, and it's going to be the largest battery in Europe at 320 megawatts, which would be 2.4% of the storage capacity required, at least by National Grid's estimates, to reach carbon neutral conditions, or that are estimate, or at least to hit the targets for carbon neutral emissions that have been set for 2030. So SemCorp is now pausing in the region of the trend mean, and it was in negative territory in here today. When the gas storage facility in the UK was cancelled in 2012, or at least when it was when they refused to spend the money necessary to ensure that it stayed open, it was predicted that they'd save £750 million over a decade, so 700 or 75 million a year. Well, this battery that SemCorp is building will cost several hundred million pounds, and it will represent 2.4% of the expected supply store or storage required, which is orders of magnitude greater than the amount of money that needed to be spent on natural gas storage. And it's, I think, particularly relevant as we look at natural gas prices that are surging higher, because there was an ignominious record set today where European gas prices now exceed those in Asia. Now, of course, the other side of it is that Asians are paying an awful lot for natural gas, and Europe has been paying comparatively little by comparison. So there's going to be competition for cargoes, that's certain. And Europe is going to start to attract a lot more cargoes because of the high price. But it also helps to highlight the fact that prices prior to this were quite low, and they're unlikely to go back down into the base formation. And if Russia is negotiating longer term contracts and Europe just does not want to sign them, well, then that suggests that we're going to have continued volatility in prices. Well, it also suggests that there's going to be a significant argument for exporting natural gas from the USA, and US natural gas prices are just beginning to steady in the region of the trend mean and have come back in a big way from testing the $6 area to testing the $4 area. Oil prices were also negative in here today, and beginning to fail really to sustain this rebound. So they're holding just about in the region of the 200-day moving average, and we're going to have to see a rally and held throughout the full day in order to really confirm that support is coming back in here. The fact that Inflationary pressures, or at least inflationary statistics, continue to make headlines, and bond yields aren't really rallying in a big way, suggests that bond investors are much more concerned with the potential for deflationary outcomes next year, and the inability of oil to continue to rebound would help to support that view. And then, of course, when we have this upward pressure on interest rates, and we have these the upward pressure on inflation, and then the downward pressure on yields, it's suggesting that we're going to have a deflationary environment against a background where liquidity measures are tightening. And that's also something that we haven't had in quite a while. And then if we think about the total assets of central banks, well, they went up a lot in 2020, and they haven't really been going anywhere for most of 2021. So that also suggests that we're probably at a point where financial conditions are about as loose as they're going to get. And we could be looking at some tightening starting to come through over the course of the next year. And of course, that's why it's worth paying attention to what happens in terms of high yield spreads. Now, gold prices were in negative territory today, and they're potentially reacting somewhat to the risk that monetary conditions will tighten, and that might be beneficial for fiat currencies. But they've been really almost completely inert for most of the last few months. And ultimately, in order to deal with the budgetary constraints, and the reality is that central banks are talking a good game about needing to restrict liquidity. And you have former Fed governors talking about the need to aggressively raise interest rates, and even potentially to cause a recession in order to reorient the market away from an inflationary bias. The reality is that there's just no appetite for the kind of fiscal constraint required to get the public finances back in order. And that is equally true just about everywhere. So it's unlikely that the dollar is going to trend higher indefinitely, but it is continuing to steady. And right now, with people willing to bet that liquidity will contract in the US faster than elsewhere, then it's putting upward pressure on the dollar. But of course, when we make a negative dollar call, it's got to depreciate against something. So the Europeans don't want a strong currency. China doesn't particularly want a stronger currency. Japan certainly doesn't want a stronger currency. So then we would have to ask, what can the dollar appreciate against? Well, obviously there's the potential that instead of appreciating, it's going to depreciate against the purchasing power of, or the purchasing power of the dollar is going to depreciate compared to a number of the commodities. And when we think about the raw spot index for commodities, well, we've had a little pullback, but it's still in an uptrend overall, and we're right in the region of the peak from back in 2011. So it wouldn't be all that surprising if we were to get a little consolidation in here. I think we're still in something of a risk-off environment. And until we see clear evidence of bounces on the main Wall Street indices, and I just don't think that what we had today is enough, then we're going to remain in this risk-off environment. And we're likely to remain in the risk-off environment until the Federal Reserve and of course, most particularly the Federal Reserve, gives us some indication that they're not going to try and cause a recession to get inflationary pressures back in check. So that suggests that we're more likely than not to see a reversion back down to the mean for some of the most overextended instruments. And I think that I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.